Good morning, and thank you for listening to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri, located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We would like to invite you to worship with us. We're starting a gospel meeting this morning at 9:30 a.m. For our first lesson. We're having Bruce Reeves of Conway, Arkansas, present God's Word to us. This morning at 9:30, he will be speaking concerning turning trials into triumph. Then at 10:20 a.m., we'll enter into our worship service, and at the appropriate time, Bruce will be speaking concerning Leave No Room for Doubt. This afternoon at 4 p.m., he will be speaking concerning vessels of gold. And then Monday through Friday each evening at 7 p.m., he will be speaking the following subjects. Monday will be the Golden Passage, John 3:16. Tuesday evening at 7 will be the Erosion of a Life. Wednesday evening at 7 will be Learning from Rahab. Thursday evening at 7 will be the Vanishing Conscience. And Friday evening at 7 will be the Valley of Decision. We would encourage you to come and bring your Bibles and worship with us and study God's Word with us. This morning I would like to speak to you concerning the blood of Jesus Christ. What does the blood of Christ mean to you? It may not mean anything, especially if you have not been convinced you are eternally lost in sin without Christ's blood. But if you study your Bible very long, you will soon find that man is lost in sin, and that only the blood of Jesus Christ can change that terrible situation. Romans 3 and verse 23 clearly tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Passages like 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 give us an insight concerning this subject from our Creator. Verse 18, beginning of 1 Peter 1, says, "Knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of the times for your sake, who through him are believers in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God." This morning we will see the importance of blood in the plan of redemption for mankind and how we can reach the blood of Christ today. First of all, let's notice its importance. Under the law of Moses, notice that blood was used as that remitting quantity or quality. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 to begin with, in verses 6 and 7. Beginning at verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 9, "Now these things, having been thus prepared, the priests go in continually into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the services. But into the second, the high priest alone, once in the year, not without blood, which he offereth for himself and for the errors of the people." Notice, in the sight of God, blood sanctify the people. In fact, without blood, there were no correction for sins of mankind. Let's go to the ninth chapter, to verse 22. For lack of time, we can't read the entire context, but I would encourage you to read these chapters, Hebrews 9 and 10. Verse 22 says, "And according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And apart from shedding of blood, there is no remission." It is also pointed out, dear listener, that the blood of animals did not actually take away sins of man, but in reality just shoved or pushed them forward each year. So let's look at chapter 10 and read the first four verses of chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect them that draw nigh. else would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having been once cleansed, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made of sins year by year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. The question arises then, if blood was the only thing that could remit sins, and the blood of animals could not do so, then whose blood could? Could man's blood take away sin? No. Well, why? Well, because of man's sins. He is the one who needs his sins taken away. The only answer to be found, then, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the sinless God-man, the only begotten Son of God, the Messiah, who was and is without sin, could and did give his blood that you and I might be saved. Let's go back to Hebrews 9, and let's read verses 11 through 14. But Christ, having come a high priest of the good things to come, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, nor yet through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, entered in once for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats, or bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling them that have been defiled sanctify unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Also, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 21 through 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we might, or having died, that we having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we were going astray like sheep, but are now returned unto the bishop, the shepherd and bishop of your souls. But now that Christ has shed his blood for us, dear listener, how do we meet his blood? How do we reach it? How do we come in contact with the precious blood of our Savior? That's the question that we have to ask, because if the soul-saving power is in the blood of Jesus Christ, where do we reach it? How do we get to it? We must first, though, understand that the cleansing of Christ's blood involves the washing away of our sins, and that we must respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, as those people did in the first New Testament times, in order for this to take place. So let's go to Romans chapter 6. I would like to read Romans chapter 6, and let's read verses 16 through 18 to begin with, of Romans chapter 6. Very carefully now, listen. Know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And then verse 17 and 18, but thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. So we read in passages, dear listener, like 1 Peter 1:22, where it says, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. We have to obey this form of teaching that God has given us, the New Testament, the New Covenant, the Gospel, in order to reach the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sins. But what exactly must one do in order to have his sins washed away? Well, the answer comes forth loud and clear from the pages of God's divine word. Very clearly, the Holy Spirit teaches to us, if we allow him to speak to us, that one must be baptized into Christ. After one has believed that truth, that form of doctrine, teaching, after one has repented of his or her sins, and after one has confessed his or her faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We can look at passages like Acts 22 and verse 16, where Ananias told Saul, after he had believed, he knew that Jesus was now the Messiah. And Ananias told him, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So there we see the connection of baptism and the remission of our sins being connected together in a command, as Saul was told to be immersed in water for the remission of his sins. Now let's go back to Romans 6 again. I want you to go back to that form of doctrine that was spoken of there in verses 16 through 18. Go back to the first of Romans chapter 6, and let's read verses 3 through 5. Verses 3 through 5 of Romans chapter 6. This is a very important passage, which many today change the meaning of what it says, but the import is very clear if you are looking for the truth. Now let's read it. Verses 3 through 5 of Romans chapter 6. Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And then he says in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Dear listener, this couldn't be any clearer for us, to show us that the place that we reach the blood of Jesus Christ is where he shed it in his death, and that can only be accomplished in water baptism. Unfortunately, that's not what's being taught today in most religious circles, but that's what the Holy Spirit teaches, and I'm encouraging you to take a stand with the Holy Spirit and the truth, and on this passage in Romans 6, 3 through 6, that we only reach the blood of Christ when we are scripturally baptized, immersed in water into Christ for the remission of our sins. That's what the scriptures teach, and that's what we must adhere to if we want to put God first in our life. Do you believe this, dear listener? Do you believe the Bible? Listen to the inspired writers concerning the importance of baptism. Now, I'll just list a few here, but you can take a complete concordance and you can look at every scripture that deals with baptism. You can read through the book of Acts and look at all the different examples of people being converted by the inspired apostles as the Holy Spirit guided them back in the first century. Passages like Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. People today want to cut that scripture up and say, no, faith only saves. You don't have to be baptized. But what does the Holy Spirit say there? Acts 2:38, the inspired apostle Peter told those penitent, confessing believers, when they said, sirs, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's ace, in order to, in that pass, with a view to having remission of your sins. They had to do those things before they could reach the blood of Christ. And when they were baptized into Christ, scripturally, as Peter commanded them to do, then and only then did they reach the blood of Christ and have their sins remitted. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism does also now save us. But people today say, no, that's not true. The Holy Spirit's wrong there. You're saved without and apart from water baptism. And that's just not what the scripture says, though, dear listener. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2 and look at 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. There it says, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Yes, Jesus Christ made it possible for us to come back to God, not through the law of Moses. He hung that law on the cross. That bond written in ordinances which was against us and contrary to us, he made us alive together through being buried with him in baptism and being raised with him through the faith we have in these scriptures to do God's will. That's what verse 12 said. Have you, my friend, come in contact with the soul-saving blood of Jesus Christ in baptism yet, according to his will? Well, we would like to stop at this point and again invite you to our gospel meeting, which is going to begin this morning at 9:30 a.m. Bruce Reeves of Conway, Arkansas, will be teaching from God's Word during the week. At 9:30, he'll be dealing with the subject of turning trials into triumph. Then at 10:20, after we are engaged in worship to God and partake of the Lord's Supper, as he has commanded on the Lord's Day, Bruce will discuss the subject, Leave No Room for Doubt. Then Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m., he'll discuss the vessels of gold. Then Monday evening at 7 p.m., he will discuss the golden passage, John 3, verse 16. A lot of people put a lot of emphasis on that scripture to be the only scripture that we have to adhere to in the scriptures. And he'll deal with that Monday evening at 7 p.m. Then Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., his subject will be the erosion of a life. Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., he'll discuss learning from Rahab. Thursday evening at 7 p.m., he'll discuss the vanishing conscience. And then Friday evening at 7 p.m., the Valley of Decision. Remember, we are located at County Line and Miller Roads, just northwest of the new shopping center on the North Belt Highway. Just come up to the top of the hill and turn left at Cambridge Corners there and come on down about three-quarters of a mile. We're on the right at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads. We'd love to have you come and worship with us and bring your Bibles and examine what we teach to see if these things are so from the Holy Scriptures. Continuing in our discussion then about baptism and the blood of Christ and how they can't be separated and how we cannot even reach the blood of Christ unless we're scripturally immersed in water for the remission of our sins. Did you know, dear listener, that Jesus actually shed his blood for his church? If you would write down and read this scripture sometime when you have time, Acts 20 and verse 28, it very clearly shows that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. Now, we have people today telling us what is a false doctrine, that the church doesn't have anything to do with salvation, that it's not important, that you don't have to go to church to be saved. The church has nothing to do with salvation. Well, I just told you a passage that you need to look at. Acts 20, verse 28, where the Holy Spirit says that Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. Now, if his blood is not important, then I would say the church is not important. But his blood is important, and he purchased the church, that entity that he established, that's talked about in the New Testament, he purchased that entity with his own blood. And so the people that are saying the church isn't important, and that we can be saved outside of the church, is teaching a lie, a false doctrine. But God tells us that Jesus gave himself up for the church and that he's actually the Savior of that body and only that body. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And I hope that you have a sincere and honest heart and you're seeking the truth, dear listener. Don't close your heart to the truth just because you've been taught a false doctrine that you can't find in the New Testament. Go to the Scriptures and let God talk to you. Let the Scriptures open up your heart. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. Jesus gave himself up for the church, dear listener. Go back to verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. Now, the body is the church. Look at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. There says in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, He, the Father, put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him, that's the Son, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the people that are saying that the church hasn't got anything to do with salvation is not teaching what the inspired apostles taught, what the Holy Spirit teaches in the Word of God. These scriptures clearly show that Jesus is the Savior of the body. He purchased it with his own blood. He is the head of this church, the body. He's the Savior of this church, of the body. And that's what we want to be involved in. That's what we want to be a part of. And this means, dear listener, that you and I, in order to have salvation, must be in his body in order to be saved. And the only way we can get into his body is to be baptized into it. Please go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verse 13. There it says, For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Dear listener, if you follow the inspired word of God, you can understand very quickly that baptism is the only way that we can get into this one body that we read about in Ephesians and other passages. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. And we have to be properly immersed into this one body, as these scriptures tell us, by one Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit teaches us. He brings us the truth. He tells us the way it is. It doesn't matter what our parents taught us. It doesn't matter what the majority believe. It's what the inspired Word of God teaches. And we must adhere to that if we're going to love our Creator and put Him first in our lives. So in other words, dear listener, this means that you and I, in order to have salvation, must be in His body, which is His church. And that's the only way we can get into His church, is by being baptized into Christ. That's what that means. Acts 2 is a good example, and I mentioned it earlier. We have a few minutes left, so I'd like to read Acts 2, 37 through 41. And hopefully you are seeking the truth, and if you can, turn with me. If not, write it down and read it later on your own. Beginning at verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, after Peter had convicted these people that they had crucified the Messiah. And this is the first complete gospel sermon that was preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. After the promise had come of the Holy Spirit coming on them, as Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem, the apostles. And so we read at verse 37 of Acts 2, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? There's that question. What do you and I have to do to become Christians, to have our sins washed away, to be in Christ, to be saved? And Peter said unto them, Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto or for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. Now remember, Acts 22, verse 16, dear listener, that Ananias told Paul to rise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. So we know what's involved in calling. It's not just some verbal, Lord, save me, or a sinner's prayer that you don't find in the New Testament. No, it's doing what God tells us to do. To hear the gospel, repent of our sins upon believing it, confessing our sin, confessing Christ before men, and being buried with him in baptism. That's what calling on the name of the Lord involves. And then verse 40, And with many other words, he testified and he exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. And then they that received his word were baptized. And there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Now I want you to notice, dear listener, they weren't added. until after they were baptized. Today, people say you're added before you're baptized. In the faith-only doctrine, you accept Christ as your personal Savior and pray to God and say a sinner's prayer, which none of the apostles taught. And then they say that's when you're saved, that's when you reach the blood of Christ. And then, if you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to, you can be baptized. That's not what the Holy Spirit taught through the apostles. After they were baptized, they were added about 3,000 souls. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted to them all according as any man had need. And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, breaking bread at home, they took their food in gladness and sit with singleness and heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, or to them day by day, those that were being saved. Beautiful picture, isn't it, dear listener? Well, that's the picture that we want to adhere to today. We want to stand with the truth. We want to be new creatures in Christ Jesus, as we read about in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And the only way we can get into Christ is through water immersion into Christ for the remission of our sins. Then, and only then, can we, through prayer as Christians, go to God the Father, repent and confess our sins to Him and ask Him to forgive us. That's when we start praying as children of God, after we've been put into that soul-saving blood of Christ and added to that body that Jesus purchased with His own blood. Then, according to 1 John 1:7-9, then we can ask God to forgive us of our sins, and He will cleanse us from all sin. He'll forgive us because now we're His children. But that's not the way people are being taught today. They've got it reversed. Unfortunately, the devil has changed the truth around, jumbled it up, and changed it from what the Holy Spirit put it forth through the inspired apostles in the first century. So our exhortation to you, dear listeners, study your Bibles. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in your thinking. Follow only the truth as it's laid forth in the New Testament. Friend, do you have the power of the blood of the Savior to cleanse you from sin? Have you been baptized into Christ, His body, the church, for the remission of your sins? We encourage you to obey God rather than men and to follow only His word. And again, before we close, we invite you to our gospel meeting starting this morning at 9:30, Turning Trials into Triumph, 10:20, Leave No Room for Doubt. Sunday in the this afternoon, 4 p.m., Vessels of Gold. Monday evening, 7, The Golden Passage, John 3:16. Tuesday evening at 7, The Erosion of a Life. Wednesday evening at 7, Learning from Rahab. Thursday evening at 7, The Vanishing Conscience. And Friday evening at 7, The Valley of Decision. We encourage you to come and study your Bibles with us. There will be no asking of money of any kind. We are not interested in donations. We're interested in people bringing their Bibles and searching for the truth. You have the right to question anything we teach. And if we're not teaching what the Bible teaches, or if we're causing the Bible contradict itself, then we need to change, or we're not going to go to heaven. Because Jesus very clearly tells us through Peter that in 1 Peter 4:11 that we must speak only as the oracles of God. We cannot go beyond the things that are written. 1 Corinthians 6:4, we must not add to or take away from God's word. And so we would encourage you to seek the truth from above. Go to your Bible, go to your New Testament. Allow it to be your authority and nothing else. May God bless you, and you have a wonderful day.